Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Lowry O'Mahony, chartered physiotherapist and Pilates instructor. Good morning and welcome, Lowry.
Good morning, Pat, and thank you so much for having me on today. I'm thrilled.
Now,
to be
I remember
here.
Years and years ago, Pilates was a thing, and it seems to be back with a bang.
Yeah, well, I think Pilates has been around for a long time. A lot of people, when they think of Pilates, they think of floor-based exercises. However, there are a lot of other pieces of equipment involved in Pilates, most notably the reformer, which is so popular at the moment. And it's a machine that allows people to get up and down off it a lot more comfortably.
So what height is it at? Is it at like sitting height or not couch height, but higher than that?
Well, the older machines could be, let's say, 20 centimetres off the floor, whereas you can get machines now that are higher, that are approximately 40 centimetres up off the floor, which means that, let's say, if getting up and down off the floor for a barrier was you, was a barrier for you, then getting up and down off something that's 40 centimetres off the floor is much more doable.
Now, Pilates, I knew nothing about the origins of Pilates. I presume that Pilates was some sort of a Latin phrase. It's not. It's a person.
Absolutely. It was a gentleman called Joseph Pilates came up with this method. And initially he was using bed frames, would you believe, and the springs. And that's how he came up with the first reformer. So he came up with this method of strengthening the body, working on posture and balance. And then a lot of people went on and took his trainings and developed lots of different schools of Pilates. And so we have lots of different versions of Pilates available today.
Now, he was a prisoner of war at one stage, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. So he developed some of this training from working with soldiers, actually. So he was helping to rehabilitate soldiers after they had been injured. And that's where part of the Pilates teaching method came from.
Now, for people who know nothing about Pilates, explain exactly what it is, whether it's on the floor without a machine or whether it's using a machine.
Brilliant, Pat. So that's a great question. Pilates is a type of exercise that incorporates your posture. So it encourages you to improve your posture. So it helps you to think tall for anybody listening. Think about your head being a balloon floating up and away from your body. So lengthening through your spine, bringing your ears, your shoulders, your hips and ankles in line. So we have a nice profile. It also brings your awareness to your core muscles or your trunk muscles. So your abdominal muscles, lower back and hips. So it's fantastic for hip strengthening. It's a variety of exercises that you perform while you're controlling your breathing and you're activating your pelvic floor and your core. So it can be really brilliant for perhaps rehabilitation if you're after having spinal surgery or a knee replacement. But also, I know that the Leinster rugby team will do reformer Pilates as well. So it can be excellent for athletic conditioning.
Now, reformer Pilates is as distinct from floor Pilates, is that it?
Yeah, the core exercises are the same. So we're always thinking about your positioning, we're thinking about your breathing, we're thinking about your trunk activation and where your shoulders are. And then those elements are brought into doing exercises, whether it's on the floor, whether it's on a machine, or whether it's on the other various pieces of apparatus.
Now, people, when they think of machines, they think of cross trainers or whatever, or rowing machines or whatever. How does the Pilates machine actually work? I mean, do you have to do a huge amount of work? Does the machine do a bit of work for you?
Oh, great question. Well, actually, the reformer Pilates machine is fantastic because when you start off, you're lying down on it,
yeah,
which means that the machine is telling, it's giving your, so your brain, first of all, can feel your body on the machine. So it's getting that proprioceptive feedback from the machine. And then let's say you might have your ankles, your knees or your hips working. as you then become more experienced, then perhaps you can move on to more challenging balance exercises like sitting on the machine, standing next to the machine, or standing up on the machine. So for a complete beginner, the machine really, really helps. For somebody who's very, very experienced, then the machine really starts to make it more challenging.
Okay, I'm thinking in my mind's eye now of someone who's lying on this machine.
Yeah.
Now, if I was to come into that studio where the person is lying on the machine, what would I see the machine doing? Would their leg be going up? What would be happening?
So there's such a variety of exercises, but I'll talk you through a basic one, if that's okay.
Yeah.
There's an exercise called footwork, and it's the foundation for Pilates. It's like a warm-up done for a lot of classes. So there's a stationary bar.
Yeah.
Your two heels will be on the bar, and you're lying on a carriage. The carriage is connected by a variety of springs, so they all have different intensity. So depending on however many springs you have on, you're pressing out against the bar. So not too dissimilar to a leg press machine in a gym. So you're pressing in, so you're pressing against the resistance and slowly controlling as you come back in. And you can do that exercise in loads of different positions and very quickly. Another exercise you can do, your body will be in the same position, but now you'll take your feet off the bar. Your hands are in straps and now you're pressing your hands against the resistance. So now you're really working your abdominal muscles, your body awareness, and now all of your arm muscles as well.
So it seems quite gentle.
That depends on where you're at in your exercise journey.
Is it ever painful?
Well,
does that depend again on where you are? I mean, at the beginning, if you want to persuade people to do this, if it's hurting them, they won't do it.
Absolutely. So we don't really ever want to hurt anybody. And I think pain is a relative term. When it comes to building muscle, we know that we have to try and get close to what's called failure. So what that means is you need to push yourself to a point where you can't do anymore. And for some people, that's not a very comfortable place. And so that maybe that feels like a bit of pain to you. But generally, that's your body under a bit of pressure. And that's how we build muscle. For somebody who's starting Pilates, there won't ever be any pain. Generally, there'll be introduction to load, and that's going to be the resistance, but you can make that heavier or you can make it lighter depending on what suits you and what you need as an individual at the start.
Well, people always know the difference between a pain, which is an acute thing that is really bothersome, and the kind of ache you get when you've had a brilliant game of football or something, and you know you've pushed yourself hard and your muscles tell you've pushed them hard, and that's a good feeling.
Oh, it's a brilliant feeling. But actually, when people have pain, Pat, quite often their bodies can confuse actually what is pain due to something acute occurring and what is pain because maybe their central nervous system is a little bit more sensitive. So, you know, pain can be something that at the start you might feel it for the first few reps or it might feel uncomfortable, and then your body adjusts to it and then it feels comfortable and you can keep going. So it's important to be in a supervised setting when you are beginning any new exercise.
Now, I'm going to ask you some of the questions coming from our listeners. I dislocated my shoulder anterior along with the great tuberosity fracture last April. I've gone through multiple sessions with the physio. I'm no longer with them. My strength seems to be back where it was, but when I raise my hand, it still feels sore, especially when I twist my arm. I do a lot of swimming and I'm finding it very hard. Would it be normal to have these symptoms 8 months on? 37-year-old male.
Okay, so thank you for that, Pat. Absolutely. So when an anterior dislocation occurs, generally it's when the hand is upstretched, so the arm is externally rotated. Ideally, when the shoulder heals, those symptoms should go away. But if those symptoms are persisting, I would always recommend consulting with an orthopedic consultant. Physiotherapy and conservative treatment is fantastic. But if things haven't stabilized after a certain period of time, pain is persisting and also it's causing a reduction in function, at that stage, I would definitely recommend going to see an orthopedic consultant for a consultation.
Gronya's been on. She says, I've tennis elbow. I'm a florist and busy all year round, especially at Christmas, and using a secateurs every day. I can't avoid it. It's a tool of my trade. So I ice my elbow and I do stretching exercises every day to ease the pain, but it's still very sore and it's very depressing. Any suggestions?
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, especially at this really busy time of year for you. First of all, a couple of really quick solutions. So ice is fine, but not for longer than 10 minutes. You can also get something which is called a tennis elbow brace, which can give you short-term relief. most importantly, we know that you need to load the tendon. So going to see a physiotherapist, they're probably going to give you exercises to strengthen the tendon. And so completing these over a couple of months is going to result in a stronger tendon and most likely reduced symptoms. It takes time. And so something like an elbow brace can be really, really useful in the short term.
Another one here. Can you ask your guest about tech neck and exercises stroke stretches for this tech neck? Getting this lately, very sore neck and shoulders, even causing headaches. That's from Sean in Galway. What's tech neck?
So tech neck quite often will be from gaming or from the phone, and that the head is looking down all the time. So prolonged periods of flexion in the neck. And what, first of all, there's no wrong posture. There's no wrong position. It's sustained postures that are the problem.
And often people are watching telly these days and they have their phone in their hand as well.
Yeah, everything is flexion. Everything in our world nowadays is flexion. People forward in the car, sitting down with the phone. So I would recommend changing positions as often as you can. So good to stand up. Specifically for what we're talking about now, even standing up, bringing your head against the wall, and then stretching your hands out and lifting your hands up and down. So like you're making a snow angel, except you're doing it standing up. So we're working on the muscles in the back of your body. We're telling your brain, actually, this is where my ear should be. It shouldn't be forward. My chin shouldn't be on my chest. My ear should be in line with my shoulder. So now your spine is nice and straight. So I would recommend, we should all be trying to change positions anyway every 30 minutes or so. You know,
and often your watch will tell you to do it.
Well,
start moving.
Depending on what your watch is.
A question for Laurie. At what stage should I be getting a knee replacement? I got the injection. There is some arthritis. I have no pain, just some swelling and stiffness. I'm reluctant to interfere with it. That's from Geraldine in Wexford.
Okay, thanks, Geraldine. Okay, arthritis is such a subjective, when we think of the diagnosis, sometimes up to 80% of people can have changes on x-ray, but maybe only 25 to 35% of those people will have clinical symptoms. So that means pain and swelling. So really, I would say I wouldn't consider getting something like a surgery done until it's impacting your function. So for example, pain is stopping you from maybe sleeping or doing the things that you love. Now, interestingly, so steroid injections can be useful in a very short-term period. But if you have a steroid injection, you're at a higher risk of having an infection post-operatively. So if you're thinking about having surgery, we'll probably not have any injections in the short term. But also, if you don't have any pain, I would be very reluctant to engage in surgery.
Post-knee replacement, 50 years old, my knee flexion is stuck at at 30 degrees, could Pilates help improve this?
Absolutely, absolutely. So ideally, you want the flexion to be at a minimum of 90 degrees. I worked in orthopedics years ago in the NHS. You really want like 90 degrees, just so you can sit underneath the table. It's really important, and drive a car. Even like sliding your heel underneath and stretching your leg away on a plastic bag is a really easy way. So you just push with the other leg, push it underneath you. So starting to do that at home straight away. And then Pilates on the reformer, pressing in and out on that bar I was telling you about. Such a lovely way to start to calm your central nervous system down and get your muscles working.
Is Pilates a good swap for weight training along with regular walking? This is from a woman in her mid-40s.
Absolutely not, actually. So most importantly, we know to keep our muscles and our bones strong as we age, we need to do what is called progressive strength training. Okay, so for some people, if you've never exercised before, then reformer Pilates is a fantastic way to introduce resistance. But the gold standard is progressive strength training, which means increasing the load all the time to cause the muscle to adapt. I would say keep your strength training session and then add in a reformer Pilates session to work on your core strength, your balance and your flexibility. Balance is really important when we come to reducing falls risks as we age.
Thoughts on adding ankle weights to a home Pilates routine?
Brilliant. Do it. The more resistance, the better. I love it.
Is Pilates good for ankylosing spondylitis?
Okay, so you definitely need to be under the care of a rheumatologist for that. But we know that all exercise is excellent when it comes to a condition like ankylosing spondylitis. Really working on improving your range of movement and your flexibility is key. Loading as well. So your resistance training is really important. Reformer Pilates, great at the start, as depending on what your strength level is like, you're going to need external weights as you get stronger, and that's the gym or at home.
A final question is about online Pilates videos. There's loads of them available. I used to do proper classes years ago. Would you recommend home Pilates because the times of the class no longer suit me?
Absolutely. I taught mat Pilates for years. I think it's brilliant. what we know is that you need resistance. If you want to get stronger, if you want to preserve your bone mineral density and indeed increase it, you need resistance.
I want to squeeze another one in. I'm 3 months postpartum. I've had back pain since giving birth. How do I go about starting reformer Pilates? Is it too soon to start? And should I start with normal Pilates? That's from Kira.
Okay, thanks, Kira. So first of all, we normally say potentially wait up to 6 weeks after you've had a baby before you get back into doing Pilates. I would always recommend seeing a female pelvic health physiotherapist just so you can get the go ahead there. And once you're clear, reformer Pilates is fantastic because it really helps with your core strength. So your abdominal, hip, lower back, and also cues, so it can get you back in touch with your pelvic floor.
Where are you to be found?
So I'm based in around County Cork. So Max Physio and Pilates is the name of my business, and we're based all around County Cork, in case anybody wants to come and see us in person.
Larry O'Mahony, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.